I invite you to turn, please, to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, please. John's Gospel, chapter 14. We read here a portion of the words of Jesus on the night he was betrayed. The night before he was crucified. We begin to read at the 15th verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Let's ask God for his blessing upon the word this morning and upon the ministry of his word. Let's ask him, let's be sure and ask him that he's going to speak to us by the Holy Spirit today. Father, I thank you for the privilege of ministering your precious word. We approach it today, Father, confessing that it is the holy inspired word of a holy God. We approach it today acknowledging, Father, that this word is you, that it is spirit and that there's life in it. It's not just words written in a book, but they're alive and they are powerful and they separate between our minds and our spirits. They discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We thank you, Father, for your promise that all of your word is good for our instruction, for our correction and for our doctrine, and yes, even for our reproof. I thank you, Father, that what the people of God receive today does not depend upon me, but rather on you. And I yield myself, Father, and my members as instruments to be used by you and by your Spirit, that the word that comes forth today from these lips be those words of the Holy Ghost and not my own. I thank you, Father, that the anointing of your Spirit, who is in me, truth himself, is big within me, that the greater one lives on the inside of me, that I am an overcomer because of him, and that he will speak through me today. I ask you, Father, to anoint the ears of those that hear, that they might be able to receive and circumcise the hearts, that they might receive the word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture that we've just read out of John 14 is the promise of the Lord Jesus to send the Holy Spirit. You know, there's something very interesting about this whole business of the Holy Spirit and about the promise of the Lord Jesus. Do you know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only, well, I want to call him teacher. That's it. He is the only spiritual teacher who ever promised that when he left, he'd come back. He's the only spiritual man who ever promised that when he left, he would return. Confucius never promised to return. Baha'u'llah never promised to return. Muhammad never promised to return. Buddha never promised to return. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth says, I go away, but I shall come again. I will not leave you comfortless. He promised his disciples. He said, don't cry. Don't be disappointed that I go away. He said in John 16, it's good for you. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not be able to come. We hear a great deal of talk about the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Ghost. I want to answer the question today, who or what is the Holy Ghost? I find there are many in churches, in Christian churches, that have no idea what the Holy Ghost is. They know that there is such a thing, but they don't know what it is. It's kind of an ethereal, nebulous kind of a thing up here that's in the Bible, and there are people, Christians, that are talking about the Holy Spirit, but what is it? What really is the Holy Spirit? If someone asked you to describe to them what is the Holy Ghost, and that's the same Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, it's the same thing, how would you describe that? How would you answer that question? How many of you are here today that think that you could adequately describe to the understanding of an unbeliever or another person what the Holy Spirit is? Don't put your hands up. I just want you to ask yourself, how many of you know enough about the Holy Spirit of God that you could describe him or discuss him to the understanding of another person? Not many Christians know. I want us to see what God's Word has to say. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture today. If you have your pencils and papers, you may want to jot down some of these as we go. The first one is in Hebrews 9. We want to examine what God's Word says about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. This is the day of Pentecost. This is the day that we remember specifically the great outpouring in Jerusalem of the Holy Spirit of God. It was what the choir was singing about today. But what is this Holy Spirit? What is it? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, the primary teaching that's in that verse concerns the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the effectualness of that blood in purging us from sin and dead works before God. But there's a little phrase in there that tells us something about the Holy Spirit. And that phrase is this one. Through the eternal Spirit. God's Word teaches right here that the Holy Spirit is eternal. That he has no beginning and that he has no ending, but that he was at the beginning and he is at the end and he is everywhere in between. He's eternal. The Holy Spirit is without limit as far as time is concerned. He is an eternal being. Now, if you will, turn to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, the 35th verse. And the angel answered and said unto her, this is unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angel said that when the Holy Ghost came upon her, that the power of the highest should be present there. When the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, the power of the highest, the power of God was present. Why was the power of God present when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary? Because the Holy Spirit of God is all powerful. He is all powerful. He has all power, the Holy Ghost does. He's not only eternal, but he is also all powerful. All right, now turn to the Psalm 139. Beginning to read at the 7th verse. Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. These verses tell us that the Holy Spirit is everywhere present. There is no place where the Holy Spirit of God is not there. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent or everywhere present. David said, I cannot go anywhere and be away from the presence of thy Spirit. He's eternal. He's all powerful. He is everywhere present. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see another one of his characteristics. And by now, those of you that are spiritually sensitive should begin to be getting the drift. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Word of God says that the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. He knows everything. There is nothing that the Holy Spirit does not know. There is no way to surprise the Holy Spirit. He has all knowledge. The Spirit searcheth all things. All things. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knoweth all the things of God. The Holy Ghost has all knowledge. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Word of God shows us that the Holy Spirit was the agent of God's creation. He is creator. He is creator. He has the ability to create. That from nothing, he can make something. All right, now, The Word of God says many, many other things about the Holy Spirit. But these ought to be enough to identify what or who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is everywhere present. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is creator. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. Not something apart from God, but God Almighty Himself. The Holy Spirit is God. God's the only one that's eternal. God's the only one that's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. And it is only God that has the ability to create. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit has all of these attributes and all of these characteristics, He is forever God Almighty. In the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, Peter, in his discourse, knew the truth about the Holy Spirit. You remember the story here in the beginning of Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and how Ananias and Sapphira had plotted to deceive God, how they had plotted to hold back on the Lord. But Peter said in verse 3, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. All right, now there in the two verses is the thing we're looking for, isn't it? He said in the third verse that he lied to the Holy Ghost. And in the fourth verse, he said he lied unto God. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a He. And it is improper to refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. It was very difficult for me earlier here while I was noticing, while I was speaking, it was hard for me to stop saying He. The Holy Spirit of God is a person, is not a thing. He's not a wall. It's not an it. He's not a hand. It's not an it. He's not an ear. It's not an it. You cannot refer to the Holy Spirit of God as an it any more than I would refer to this brother as an it. Or this brother as an it, or this sister as an it. She's no it. And he's no it. And to refer to the Holy Spirit as an it only serves to remind us that we do not really know him very well, do we? The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God Almighty. Everything, now I want you to get this in your spirits. Everything that God is, everything God is, the Holy Spirit is. Enabling of God is resident in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. In the same way that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. In the same way that the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. One God in three persons, in three manifestations, but all God. The Holy Spirit is God. He, not it. Now, what does that mean to us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says these words that are tremendous in their impact, tremendous in their importance for you and me as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says these words. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. In the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse, he says the same thing. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's word says this to us as believers. If you have been born again of the Spirit of God, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you are truly a Christian, and I'm talking about a Bible Christian, I'm not talking about a Christian that joined a church and was baptized but never had anything happen on the inside. I'm talking about a born-again, blood-washed, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, serving, living Christian. I'm talking about one who has had his life changed. I'm talking about one who is different on the inside. I'm not talking about one that's had a little water put on him and some words said nicely over him and he went out and did the same thing again. That's no Christian. I don't care what the world calls it. God's word does not call it a Christian. God's word calls it a hypocrite. A Christian is one who has received Jesus Christ into his heart. He said, I'm not my own anymore. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. I receive him into my heart. I want my life to be changed. I'm going to live for him forever. That's a Christian. And if you are a Christian, friend, you will know it, and the people around you will know it, because you will not be the same. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, when I was a young boy, I did all the things that the church said I was supposed to do. I was baptized. I answered yes to the questions. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe he died for my sin. Yes, I believe he sits at the right hand of God the Father. But I never had my life changed. I was 37 years old before I had my life changed. And I lived all those years in between as a dead man on the inside, having a form of religion but denying the power of it. And if I'd have died in that situation, I'd have gone straight to a hell and spent eternity there. Now, I called myself a Christian, and people thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't a Christian. We are called Americans because we belong to this nation. You are called a Christian by God when you belong to Him, not when you still belong to yourself. If you still belong to yourself, if you're still running your own life, God's not claiming you as Christian. God will claim you as Christian when you take Jesus Christ into your life and become identified with Him. A Christian. If you are truly a Christian, not a church member, but a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God is on the inside of your spirit. Now, if you're not a Christian, the Holy Spirit is not inside you. You have no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you're a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, if God's Spirit has touched you, then in your heart, the Holy Spirit dwells. This body that you're looking at. Now, some of you don't think this is a very pretty body. Now, you're entitled to your own opinions. But it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it looks like, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you have Jesus in you, if you have been born again by the Spirit of God, your body also is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, this I want you to see today. You may feel like God is a million miles away from you, and you may feel like there's no way God is dwelling on the inside of you. But if you're a Christian, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, then God Almighty by His Holy Spirit dwelleth in you. You sit there and God's inside you. God's in there. Now it's important for us, as Brother Kenneth Copeland says, to be God inside minded. To begin to think, to begin to understand, to begin to perceive that wherever you go as a Christian, God is there. He's not over here in the church somewhere, or He's not up here in heaven somewhere looking down upon you. He's inside you. That's what it means to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I walk across this platform, if somebody wants to know where God is, you tell them He's standing in the corner. I mean it. I mean it. Now, I use the ridiculous, you see, to make a point. Inside this young girl, sitting right there, is God Almighty. Is God Almighty. God's in her. Don't you know it? God's in her. The creator of the universe, the eternal Spirit of God, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, creative Spirit of God is in that blessed sister right there. And in this brother, right there, God Almighty is in that body. God's in him. God's in him. God's in him. He's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And everything that God is inside that man and this man and that woman and that man and that woman and that man and that woman. Now, doesn't it make you feel a little silly? To realize how we whine and wail and moan and complain, how we grumble and wonder, and how we cry out, "Oh God, how am I ever going to get through this one? Oh God, if only you'd come and help me. Where are you, God? I need you." Honey, call the preacher. I'm not God. He's inside you. You're the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're building us a facility here to worship God. But this is not the sanctuary of God. God doesn't live here. That is true. When you walk in here, many times you'll feel the presence of God in a way that you hadn't felt Him maybe all week. But the reason is because God's people are here. The reason is because God's people are here. He's not holed up in a corner over there waiting for Sunday morning for a few folks to come in and wave a few hands at Him. He's inside you. Wherever you go, He goes. When you speak, He speaks. That's why Jesus said, "I go, but in a little while I shall come back. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do." He sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Spirit that indwelled the Lord Jesus Christ indwells you. Now, I want you to remember this. When you need help, if you're a Christian, you need look no further than inside you. Now, don't you misunderstand what I'm saying. There are many cults and occults in the world today that are encouraging their followers and their adherents to look for the spirit within them, to look to the spirit that's on the inside of them and get their help from that spirit. But God's word says that until you come to Jesus Christ, the spirit that's on the inside of you is dead in sin and trespasses. And friend, that spirit can't help anybody. But when it's alive in Jesus, when it's been quickened with Him, when the sins and trespasses have been forgiven, when that spirit is now made alive and the Holy Spirit is joined to it and lives on the inside, now you have inside you what you need. Now you have inside you the capacity to live the life that God wants you to live here in this world. Now you have on the inside of you eternal life. Now you have on the inside of you the capacity for all power and knowledge and presence. Now you have on the inside of you what you need. It's the Holy Spirit. But God's people, all of us, need to become conscious of the Holy Spirit on the inside. I believe sometimes that Christians would not do some of the things they do if they were aware that the Holy Spirit was right there inside. I think sometimes even Christians think that they can do things because God won't see. That they can get away with something because God won't notice. Well, I want you to know that when you do something that's against the will of God, that's outside of the will of God, you join God in it with you. You take Him in there with you, whatever it is that you may be doing. You make Him a partaker of it because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. On the positive side, this is the main thing I want you to see today. This is the most wonderful time that any man or woman could ever live. This is the most wonderful age to ever be alive in. Do you realize that you have a better covenant with God than the disciples did when Jesus was on the earth? There was only one spirit-filled man on the earth when Jesus walked it, and that was Jesus Himself. And if you wanted to touch God, you had to touch Jesus. But if you want to touch God today, you touch His Spirit, who's inside you, if you know Him, if you're born again. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. God Almighty, by the Holy Spirit, is in you. What happened on the day of Pentecost, the miracle that took place on the day of Pentecost, was not that everybody spoke in tongues. Wonderful as that was, demonstrative as that was, but that is not the great miracle of Pentecost. The miracle of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell every man that would receive Him and empower him to do the works of Jesus, to conform him to the image of Jesus Christ, to make the church the body of Christ, to do His works. That's the miracle of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in temples today that are not made with hands, not built out of stones and block and wood and rock and brick and glass, but in flesh and blood bodies like this one and like yours. And therefore, those of you that want to touch God, touch the God in one another. When you lay your hands upon the sick, sister, brother, God Almighty is laying His hand upon the sick. Now, that may be difficult for some of you to receive, But it is God's Word. It is God's Word. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's able and He's willing to do the same thing He did through Jesus. The same things He did through Jesus. Can you receive that? If you can, just say amen.
Amen.
And if you'll believe God's clear word, you can receive what you need from God in the same way that the people received it in the days that Jesus walked the earth. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's why Peter said, you are a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. Yes, you're a peculiar people, but you're a holy nation. You're holy unto God. So holy, as a matter of fact, that God was able to put His Spirit inside you. I don't know about you. That makes me want to shout. It just makes me want to shout. I just want to shout. It's more than I can conceive. But it's true. It's true. It's true. God's Spirit is in us. Praise God. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Glory to your name, Jesus. Father, it's hard for us sometimes to understand the fullness of that which you've done for us because our minds are not totally renewed. You said in the Word that your thoughts were higher than ours and your ways were much different from ours. They weren't our ways. So we don't always comprehend with our mental faculties what you have done or why. But Father, we've seen something here today that we've never seen before in the fullness of it. That the Holy Spirit, who is God, is in us. That He's our friend. He's our helper. He's our counselor. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our strengthener. He's our intercessor. He's the one that gives us instruction when we need it. He's the one that brings comfort when we're troubled. And He's always with us, always with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we see now, Father, how He was able to say that. Because He sent His own Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is one with Him, to indwell us. So that there's not a minute, day or night, wherever we are, we can't be in bed, at work, at school, in the yard, in the basement, in the attic, on the ball field, in the bathtub. No place can we be where you are not right there with us, minute by minute by minute. My prayer this morning, Father, is that you would make this one truth so real in the lives of your people that they would never again feel alone. That they would never again feel at ends. That they would never again be unaware of your presence. I thank you, Father, for I know that's your desire. And as I pray it, I thank you for hearing and doing that which I've asked you to do. praise your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Sally, do you have there? Do you have come bless the Lord? Do you still have it out? Huh? Would you stand with me? I want us just to sing that song we had sung earlier. Come bless the Lord.
Just bless Him. We have much to bless Him for.
Much to bless Him for. Come bless the Lord. If you don't know Him as your Savior, or you may be unsure, you may think you're all right, but you're not really sure. You don't really know for sure. If you're not absolutely certain that your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been born again and that Jesus is the Lord of your life, I invite you to come as we're singing this closing hymn. You come now. Just come to the front. And by coming, you stand and say, I want to be sure that Jesus is my Savior. I want to be sure that I know Him.